So I missed all that, because for me what was important was to go and have a nap. I immediately processed that, came from direct awareness. I followed. So what's important? Any voices, anything you'd like to say, you bring up.
80%.
80% was important. Huh? Uh-huh. Good. Good. Love was important. Yeah, love's important. Huh? Put down the tennis racket, that's important. Very good.
Listen to the body.
Listen to the body.
Humor and laughter.
Sorry? Compassion. Mm-hmm.
Mudita.
Mudita.
Mudita is an antidote for hostility.
Huh?
Mudita is maybe an antidote for hostility.
An antidote for hostility. Instead of feeling everything's against you, maybe feeling there's a few things out there too that you can get gladness from, huh?
When I have this ghost, and I have hostility with the ghost, and I talk to meet the person with mudita, and then it's no ground for hostility.
Uh-huh. That's wonderful. Mm. Paying attention to what's important and spiritual friendship. So paying attention to what's important, and there's the bit, you've got to find out what's important, not what you think's important, because you know, it's generally the first voice is the tyrant's voice. So, a quality called deep attention, which actually, no, not that one. Let's go a bit deeper. So, deep attention. To find out what's important and pay attention to that. And spiritual friendship. Spiritual friends are people you can say what's important to and hear it. So that's what we've been doing. So this time on a retreat, it's time to consider closing or letting the form dissolve. You know, a particular meeting, a couple of days to a 3-day meeting. So much gratitude to all those who made it possible, did all the logistics and so on, and to each and every one of you brought your own humanity here and prepared to risk it and take a chance and listen and do the work and so on. So much mudita anumodana is the word. And so it's also, you know, befitting to consider, you know, how do you stay in touch, recognizing that one can be seriously captured by these compulsions, you know, compulsions that don't seem to do us a lot of good, and yet we feel sometimes swept away in them, responsibilities, duties, feeling overwhelmed, feeling I've just got to do this even though I don't really like it very much or approve of it. So let's, you know, it's a happy time, but also let's be realistic. Consider... you know, I think just to consider that a lot of these tyrannies are nearly true. They're almost true, that's why we buy into them. And it's a question of being able to, you know, pause, check, and just, so it's the first thing, isn't it? Tyrannies generally say, act quickly, act automatically, get into a habit and follow it. And that's the way it is and there's no choice. So that's the key on the door, isn't it? So as soon as you can pause, do momentarily pause and even energetically pause. So, you know, it's not just pausing in, it's energetically pause. It generally means you're kind of just a minute. Look, I'm looking at a 10-second break, not a weekend off. You know, and then see if you can come into your own center, and then really, you know, what's the appropriate response. So, and to feel it. So obligation, when we give ourselves a break and a pause, we get a sense of responsibility. Obligation is no choice. Responsibility is, yep, I pick that up. There's a difference there. So it's really kind of looking at the same thing, you know, seeing there is a responsibility here that I rise up to. It's just getting the work done, getting the food on the table, getting the kid to school, whatever it is, rather than, oh, you know, do this damn thing another day. Just, okay, what happens if you don't? And can you come from a place of looking at scenario, situation, and responding? So responsibility replaces obligation. Just a matter of changing, and then with responsibility, you want to bring up clear intentions to do what's appropriate, what you can do with clear conscience, the best you can do in a situation, recognizing that these things are not that perfect, but the best I can do in that situation. Responsibility. Another thing is to just be able to, you know, we can get into compulsive thinking about what we're going to do or how we're going to do it, and we can want to stop thinking. That's not quite true, but wise consideration means you just step back a bit and wisely reflect. Generally, any degree of wise consideration will begin to inform you life is impossible. I mean, things don't get finished, things don't get completed, things don't arrive at tidy conclusions. So that relieves you of the pressure to get it all done, finished, right. So you just do what you can do with an appropriate way. So wise reflection rather than just compulsive, endless thinking, worrying. If your mind is stuck in a tape loop of thinking, then no, as long as you're in that, you'll never find an answer. The loop has to break before you can find an answer, which means instead of going round that circle, you've got to just stop. And then what's really important, let's look at this again. Often we're asking a question with our head and the answer comes from the heart. It's not in your head. Somebody said trust the body. That's a good way of coming in, you know. So you just, instead of just endlessly going to your head, get a gut feeling for it. And that's a bit misty, a bit mysterious, but you can certain. And then see if you can come up with a response from the heart. And that can come out into thinking, consideration. Somebody also commented, love is important. Whatever we pack into that word, then it's cover a range of feelings from the pink to the bright colours to the sense of mutual respect. But it's essentially the ability or the practice of staying open to, opening up to. You know, you love someone, you open up to them, you take them in, don't you? You take it on. And the more profound the love is, the more you can take on. It means you don't just take on the nice bits. The more profound it is, the wider and deeper it is, the more you can take on, you know, the rough bits. And it's not fun, but it is. It's truly important. So then we're living from the heart, and you can love your family, you can love a project, you can love the Dhamma, you can love other people. And you want to always try to look at how you can, is anything you're leaving out of that? So our practices of kindness and compassion and so forth are pretty easy when it comes down to objects that naturally trigger that, people we admire or fond of. But the wider cultivation that is, you want to start to take things that are not so easy and put them in there. Can I stay with this person, this thought, this feeling, this aspect of myself without going, or stop it? So it doesn't have, so the love quality doesn't actually do answers. The answer comes, if there's an answer, it comes later, just the sense of opening to include. Basically, because if we don't, whatever you don't include gets bigger and darker. If you can't include it, it's going to get bigger and darker. Yeah. So in a way there's not much choice. Well, there is a choice, but the wise choice is see if you can get wider and bigger and bear it in your heart without closing it down, reacting to it. And there's a natural process whereby in due course of time, the way that awareness is, heart awareness is that difficult, unpleasant thing will start to lose its sting and begin to dissolve, and it will change you. So difficult things, difficult people, difficult aspects of ourself are there to help us change. We're not there to change them. That's the wrong way round. That's the mistake. That's the mistake. Think, I'm going to sort her out. I'm going to change her so she's more like what I want her to be. No, no, no. It doesn't work like that. People try it and do it, but that's really that's tyranny again, isn't it? But if I'm up for it, I could say, I want to take that in so it will change me. That's the only thing I have some say over. I've got not any say in changing other people. I have some say in going through a process that will change me, make me less opinionated, less fixated, less frightened, less judgmental. So this is, that's love. Yeah. That's what I put into that word. You can find another word for it, but that's what I put into it. I don't think it's a small thing. Yeah. Or an easy thing. But when you switch that on, or you begin to turn that on, you find that actually, strangely enough, when it's changed you, you see the world differently. The world changes. Once you've changed, then the world changes. Because your eyes have changed focus. You start to see with compassion, and you start to see with appreciative joy. And you start to see the fun and the enjoyment of nourishing and supporting others. And you start to see the possibility of, just the possibility of being almost equanimous. A little closer to it. And that, how exciting that is. So these are things to offer. Your ongoing practice. You know, I mean, you need to talk to each other, talk to friends. How do you deal with work? How do you deal with families? And these are things you just got to keep hashing out the details of. And it's not really something that I can deal with the details of because I don't do it. And I mean, I got my stuff, my work. How I deal with that. So thank you.